Welcome to Bigfoot Trail Tales, where we explore the landscapes, the people, and the stories shaping wild trails across Northwest California and beyond. I'm your host, Michael Kaufman, the Bigfoot Trail Alliance Board President. Today's episode takes us deep into the heart of the Mendocino National Forest, to a place where rugged peaks meet ancient pines and where the trails don't maintain themselves. They're held together by grit, tradition, and the steady rhythm of hoofbeats. My guest is Ken Graves, a horse packer with 47 seasons in the saddle, most of them spent navigating the remote backcountry of the Yolaboli Middle Eel Wilderness. Ken's not just a packer, he's a storyteller, a mentor, and one of the quiet forces keeping wilderness trail work alive. In this conversation, Ken shares his story and connection with the Yolaboli. What's changed, what stayed wild, and what it takes to move tools and people across landscapes too rough for wheels. We talk about the future of trail work on our public lands, the changing face of the backcountry, and how he's training the next generation of packers to carry out this vital work in partnership with groups like the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. So settle in, take a breath of mountain air, and join us for a journey into one of California's most remote and storied wildlands. Thank you. So tell me a little bit about your history in the Yolaboli Middle Eel Wilderness.
So I started coming out here when I was in high school. Mom and Dad got the permit to run cows on the South Fork River allotment. And I came out here when I was like 16 and kind of kept an eye on the cows to start with. The idea was if it all went well, we would do it again. Nobody knew how it was going to go. Nobody had been out here for a long time on the permit. Me and my best friend out of high school come out, set up a camp at Foss Camp and stayed the summer. We gathered, had the cows all knew where they were at, got them all gathered right off the bat, and it turned out good. And so the family kept coming back. That must have been 1970, something like that. And then along in 77, before then I'd stop in the office every once in a while saying, hey, because I was watching the packing that was going on. The Black Rock Lookout was still going, and there was multiple different packers. Old Clarence, I forgot his last name, was there first when I first started. But then he got hurt and they had to fly him out of Cottonwood Creek, and his cousin took over, or his nephew, I think it was. And along about that time, I stopped in the office as well. If you ever need any help, I'm interested in summer job anyway. A few issues happened and they asked me to come give it a try, which was 77, and just packing in for the Black Rock Lookout. That first year I was here, all the mules were old, retired mules from, I think, the Los Padres. And two out of the four or five mules, I had to help up every morning. I had to shove them to get up so they could get up. I only made one trip with one of them to the lookout and said, that mule can't go anymore. She's just done.
Yeah.
And so slowly kind of weeded things out, packed for the... Finished up the year. Thought it was going to be a one-year job. 1977. Here it is, 2025, and I'm still here. Be careful what summer job you take.
And so you got hired in 77 by the Shasta Trinity National Forest.
Right.
And you've worked for them ever since.
Ever since. And pretty much on the same district ever since, and that's kind of an unheard of thing. They've combined stuff all up and down. It used to be every district was its own place, and basically it was a family on that district, and everybody stayed there. In the next district over, you only worked with them every once in a while. But through the years, we combined Hay Fork and Yolo Bola, and now we've combined Hay Fork and Yolo Bola and Big Bar and Weaverville. And then we kind of started working with the Klamath and spread out. And along the way, we thought we were going to lose all the mules and everything else. No funding. We started, me and three other people kind of started the Center of Excellence. And luckily, we had the right forest regional supervisor. And he swore, when we told him, this is going away. There's only five of us left in the region. And he said, this ain't going away on my watch. You guys do what you got to do to bring it back. And so far, it's been really good. Been a little touchy here this last year with all the stuff going on. But we went from being the absolute last thing funded in the region to the number one thing off the top funded in the region.
And is that due to wildfires a little bit? Or is that due to the, I mean, obviously the quality of work that y'all have done over the years?
All the above.
Yeah.
It was huge when we started getting in. So when I went to work here, I went to work for the fire department because the lookout was the fire department. And so I basically worked with fire my whole career. Mm. A lot of the other places didn't. Once we started including that, all the other places, it got us a foot in the door for the back for the Center of Excellence thing, and that was a huge help all the way around. Not only on our funding from fires, but from the idea from the region, wow, we still have mules and they can do stuff even when the helicopters are shut down.
Right.
And so for a long time, there wasn't a lot of people left in the Forest Service that knew they had mules and trail people and packers. So it's definitely changed. That mule over there that is now packing garbage, which she's pretty got her dignity hurt.
Yeah.
She's been in the Rose Parade three different times with me.
Nice.
Yeah. So we come a long ways recognition wise by doing those things and fire and different stuff.
So to your knowledge, 1977, to your knowledge, has anyone been doing this longer, working for the Forest Service longer than you?
Yeah, there's a couple guys. Bill Roberts on the Klamath, he packed, I think, until for 50 years. There's a guy up in Washington that I know, he's wrote a book called 45 Years with a Government Mule.
Okay.
So there's a few.
Yeah.
There's a very few.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Packers usually stay in the same place and last longer than most anybody else in any other department.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we get to go see a lot of nice country, and we usually get to work with a lot of nice mules and a lot of nice people.
Yeah,
so
for
pretty
sure.
Pretty good job.
So what about the next generation? Like, are there younger folks that are interested in this sort of career path?
There is. That's what the Center of Excellence was all about, was Randy's number one thing. He says, we're going to do this, but your number one job is to get people to come in behind you guys before you're gone.
Right.
And we've done a really good job of getting that, and we're starting to get them. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of places left in the Forest Service that this is available, but some of them went to the Park Service and some went to the BLM and came back. And so there's getting to be more all the time, and there's a lot of them that want to be doing mm-hmm. it.
Good.
So that's cool. The Backcountry Horseman has been a huge partner with us, and they actually are sponsoring young packers to come out with us to learn the deal so they can someday maybe get a job.
Well, we couldn't do this backcountry trail work without y'all. I mean, I had underappreciated the value of mules and horses in the backcountry, and I'm just totally sold. And, you know, we were able to clear close to, I would say, 10 miles of trail this trip and get out some big logs and open up trails that we never would have done before if it wasn't for the work that you do. So I guess what I'd like to ask is about the Yolo Bola. Like, what do you think is the future legacy of the Yolo Bola, and what do you hope to see within the Yolo Bola Wilderness into the future?
What I really hope to see is groups like you guys hang on here and do this, because there's been a serious lack of manpower for the trails before we had the fires, And now after, especially the August fire, it's 10 times more than it was before the fires. I can remember years coming out here and you might cut 30 logs in the winter, I mean all summer long. Mm-hmm. Those guys cut 94 logs in one little trail the first trip.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many you guys did, but you're probably at 150.
Oh, easily, yeah.
And so that's just in this little section, and a lot of this didn't burn, and every place that burnt got 100,000 trees waiting to come down.
Right. Yeah, we've got a lot of work into the future.
Yeah. When the Hermit fire burned over at West Logap, I cut trees for 20 years before they finally quit falling. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening everywhere else. There's going to be a huge workload for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
That was great. A mule sound.
Yeah, who was this?
That's Maud.
Maud, that was a very appropriate way to let it out. So I'm sure you've spent hundreds, if not thousands, of nights in the depths of the Yellow Bully Wilderness. Have you ever had any crazy experiences, encounters with bears or mountain lions or anything fun that comes to mind?
A few.
Yeah.
One time, and I don't know what it was, so everybody's always, your trail's the Bigfoot trail.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Bigfoot, and I've never seen a Bigfoot track, but I saw something that scared the shit. Well, I didn't see it. We were camped down in Cottonwood Creek at Burnt Camp, me and another guy. We was up in the morning, got breakfast done. I had an old horse that had been everywhere, done everything. Nothing spooked him. Everything was cool with him. And we just got done with breakfast, and he started snorting and looking down the canyon and smelling something. And the day before, we had seen 7 different bears on the trail. Some close, cubs, everything else. And nobody spooked about nothing. I know there was lion tracks or something. So I don't think it was a lion. I don't think it was a bear. That horse wanted to tear that tree out of the ground. He was scared. Hmm. Scared enough that he was scaring me just looking at him. And I still don't know what it was, but he smelt something that he'd never smelt before, and he didn't like it. That was one thing. The other kind of close call I had was that I had a sea crew, backcountry crew, down in Cottonwood Creek, and I was camped up at Tom Head. They got a guy hurt, and they wanted me to come down with a horse and pack him out. Well, this was April. It was raining and cold and everything else, so I had slickers on and rain gear and all that kind of stuff, and I'm headed down the hill, and I get to this little glade, and I see 3 sets of tracks going out through the glade, and I thought, I better be paying attention, but I needed to stop and get rid of some coffee. So I stopped and got rid of some coffee in that glade, and it was kind of level there. And I had a little dog with me, a little Kelpie dog. And he went trotting over the hill. And I was just getting done with getting rid of my coffee, and I heard woof over the hill from my dog. And then up the hill, I hear woof. And I look up, and here comes Mama Bear the hill, full bore, straight for me. And I'm leading a huge horse that's kind of spooky, and I'm riding a horse that's kind of spooky. And I think, okay, I gotta go and get on this horse so I can get the hell out of here. I swung around and jumped, hit the saddle, but I missed the stirrup. And so I'm just hanging on to the saddle horn. God. And I think, okay, I'm either gonna get ate by the bear or drugged to death here in the next 2 seconds. And that bear come down, and within 15 or 20 feet before she turned off and went the other way, them horses never even twitched. I don't know if they was froze or what, but if they'd have taken off, I'd either been walking or I'd have been drugged to death, one or the other. So that's about as close as I ever got with a bear, and that's about as close as I ever want to get with a bear, because she meant business. She had 2 cubs down the hill that my dog treed, and she didn't like that at all.
No. Amazing. So maybe just the last thing I'll ask you is, you know, we've been working with you since probably 2018, on and off, and, you know, we're definitely committed as an organization to work both the Bigfoot Trail proper and other trails in the Yellow Bully. So what do you see, how do you see this relationship, maybe with you and then also with the Shasta Trinity into the future? What do you hope comes of it?
Well, I hope you guys are already kind of got yourselves in with the Shasta Trinity pretty good. I'm going to be here for a little while longer. I hope you can build a relationship with the Mendocino, because the Mendocino is the lead forest in this wilderness.
Right.
This wilderness is one of the oldest ones designated. It was 1939 when it was first set aside. Wilderness Act was 64, but it's been here a long time. Mendocino, I hope, gets more involved in the management of the wilderness and the appreciation of groups like you guys that are getting stuff done. We need it. We need more groups like this. You guys really fit. The Yolo Bowl is good with the smaller groups. It helps us. We don't have to have a huge packing show. And we can kind of go sit in. The Yolo Bowl is, especially later in the year, gets to be less and less water. And so it's way better for smaller groups instead of huge groups, because there's not enough water for huge groups.
Right.
And so it's its own little special environment places, and you got to learn to live with it out here, because if you don't, you can get in trouble pretty quick. And no water, lots of heat, you know, cold, as you saw this week, hot, cold.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the first thing the storms run into from the ocean. And
right.
So it can change here in hours. It's pretty interesting. I hope what we've started keeps going for a long time, because this wilderness really needs it. And the trail system really needs it.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, it's almost 250,000 acres, and most people in California have never even heard of it.
Exactly.
So we got to keep these legacy trails, and thanks to people like you, we're going to keep after it. So thanks for chatting, Ken.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Bigfoot Trail Tales, produced by the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. We are a 501c3 nonprofit working to support the 360-mile route through the Klamath Mountains with educational and recreational opportunities. To learn more, visit bigfoottrail.org. Thank you.